I've known your pastor for some time now. We both came to our churches around the same time, a number of years ago. Some of our children used to play soccer together in the homeschool soccer league that we've both been involved in, Carlisle versus York, and those were many fun times of competition. I see Eric, of course, at presbytery meetings on a quarterly basis, some of which have been held right here in your church building. And I also see him at a pastor's lunch that meets in Carlisle on a monthly basis. And I very much appreciate him, very much appreciate his ministry here among you. God has provided you, I believe, with a godly and a faithful pastor. And I'm glad to be able to fill the pulpit for him this morning while he and his family are away. I'm going to read and preach the first six verses of this wonderful psalm. Actually, I'm going to read the whole psalm. It's printed for you there in the bulletin. Psalm 139, as you may know, is a psalm about how God knows us, his people. He knows us personally. He knows us intimately. He knows each and every one of us thoroughly, which can be very convicting, of course, when you stop and think about it. When you think about your sins, when we think about especially our hidden sins, or those we seek to keep hidden. But it can also be very encouraging and very comforting for us in light of the gospel. And we need both of those things, don't we? We need to be convicted of our sins, and we need to be encouraged in the gospel. And I trust that God will do both of those things in us through the preaching of his word this morning. So let's pray together that he would do that, and then we'll begin. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for giving us this particular psalm. What a wonderful psalm it is. It is so full of truth about your knowledge of us, your people. And as we come to this first part of the psalm now together, we pray that you would open our eyes. We pray that you would illumine our minds and soften our hearts, so that we might be able to receive these truths together with humble hearts and with joyful hearts in light of the gospel. Lord, convict us of our sin and encourage us with the truth that you know us, your people. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 139, reading the whole psalm, which is printed in your bulletin there for you, or you can look along in your Bible. This is God's word that he's given to us for our spiritual benefit. Let's listen to it now together. Psalm 139. To the choir master, a psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. There are 3 points to this sermon. If you're taking notes, you can perhaps jot these down, though I'll say them again as we go through the sermon. First, the Lord searches us and knows us. We see that in verse 1, which is sort of the theme verse for the whole psalm. Second, the Lord knows our actions, our words, and our thoughts. The Lord knows our actions, our words, and our thoughts. That's verses 2 through 5, expanding on the statement in verse 1. And then third, the Lord's knowledge is too wonderful for us. Too wonderful for us, verse 6. And again, I'll restate those as we work our way through these verses. So first, the Lord searches us and knows us. Verse 1, like I said, is sort of the theme verse for the whole psalm. The whole psalm, in one way or another, is about God's knowledge of us, his people. Look again at the words of verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. David is speaking here. The title of the psalm says, of David. And he says to the Lord, about the Lord's knowledge of him, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. That is, you have searched me and known me all my life. You have searched me and known me in the past, and you search me and you know me in the present. And as the rest of the psalm makes clear, you will search me and you will know me in the future. You have searched me and known me fully and thoroughly and exhaustively is the idea. David is affirming God's omniscience with respect to him personally. He's saying that the God who knows all knows him. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. He applies God's omniscience to himself. He makes that doctrine personal to him. We can do that too. We can apply God's omniscience to ourselves. We can make that doctrine personal. We can say to the Lord, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. God has known you, God has known me all our lives. He knew you when you were in your mother's womb. When he was knitting you together in your mother's womb, he knew you. He knew you the day you were born, your birthday. He was there. He knew you when you spoke your first word. He knew you when you took your first step. He knew you all throughout your growing up years. He knew you at every milestone of your life and also in every moment of every ordinary day. He knew you during your highest joys you've experienced. He knew you during your deepest sorrows you've been through. Every day of your life, every moment of every day of your life, he has searched you and known you, and he knows you still. And what a comfort that can be to us. What an encouragement that can be to us. That Almighty God, the God who is the King of the whole universe, the Lord of all, knows me. Knows little old me. He is not too busy for us. He is not too important for us, though he is infinitely more important than we are. He searches us and knows us personally and individually and lovingly through Christ. Psalm 8 says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him. Compared to God, who are we? Compared to the vastness of the heavens God made, who are we? And yet God is mindful of us and cares for us. He searches us and knows us. Thanks be to him. So I would encourage you to take comfort from that truth this morning. Be encouraged by it this morning, that the infinite and eternal God is mindful of you and cares for you and knows you. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're going through right now, and he will see you through it. He knows everything there is to know about you. Everything. And yet he still loves you in Christ. He knows you as his child, as your heavenly Father, through his Son. Well, having stated the theme of the psalm about God's knowledge of us as people, David then expands on that theme in verses 2 through 5. And this is what we'll spend most of our time on this morning. Let's look at those verses now. This is under our second main point. The Lord knows our actions, our words, and our thoughts. So David has already said, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Now he specifies what that means, what that looks like. He says to the Lord, you know my actions, you know my words, you know my thoughts. We'll take a look at each of those in turn. First, the Lord knows our actions. The Lord knows all the things we do. We see that in the first half of verse 2 there. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. Also in verse 3, you search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Also in verse 5, you hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. So the Lord knows all our actions. That's what we're focusing on, all the things that we do. Again, in the first half of verse 2, it says, you know when I sit down and when I rise up. So kids, during worship, when you gather for worship here in this sanctuary, when Pastor Eric says, you may be seated, and everyone sits down, or when he says, let's stand together, and everyone stands, God knows that. God sees even that when we're doing that together in corporate worship. Or when you go home after church and it's time for lunch and you sit down at the table with your family. Or when you're done eating lunch and you get up and you stand to clear the table. God knows that. God sees even that when you're doing those things. Or when it's time to go to bed at night and you lie down in your cozy and warm bed, God knows. And when you wake up in the morning and you get out of bed to start your day, God knows. He doesn't just know the big things you do or the really important things you do. He knows all the little things you do too, like sitting down and rising up. He knows all the things you do. He sees all the things that you do. Remember what the Kids Catechism says about that, if you've learned the Kids Catechism? Question 11 asks, can you see God? And the answer is, as you may remember, no, I cannot see God, but he always sees me. God always sees you. Then question 12 asks, does God know all things? And the answer is, yes, nothing can be hidden from God. So God always sees you when you sit down and when you rise up. He sees you always. And nothing can be hidden from God. He sees everything. And kids, I would encourage you, that should make you do two things. First, it should make you confess your sins to God, because he knows everything you do. He sees everything you do. You can't hide anything from him, right? You can't hide anything from God. So you should confess your sins to God and receive his forgiveness. Remember the promise he makes to us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the second thing it should make you do is it should make you glad to know this. You can be happy that God knows you like this and sees you all the time, because that means he's with you all the time. Wherever you are and whatever you're doing, he is with you. He sees you. He knows you. And that can keep you from sinning, because he sees you even when no one else sees you. And that can give you courage and hope when things are hard, because he's with you. He knows you and he sees you, and that is a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing that should make all of us glad. The Lord knows when we sit down and when we rise up. What else does David say about how the Lord knows our actions? Look at verse 3. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. You search out my path is a way of saying that God knows thoroughly the daily habits and routines of our life. He knows our path, the paths that we take. He knows our walk. He knows our way. He knows our steps. He knows the details of our daily life. Job 31:4 says, "Does he not see my ways and number all my steps?" Some of us have devices that count our steps each day. Well, God sees every single one of those steps. He counts them too. He numbers all our steps. And he searches out our lying down as well, similar to verse 2. This is the ultimate sleep study, to have God himself search out your lying down. But of course, when it says that he searches out our path and our lying down, that's not meant to imply that there are things that he doesn't know about us, and he has to search them out first and find them out first, and then he knows them. No, that would add to his knowledge, and so he wouldn't be perfect in knowledge. If there are things he doesn't know that he has to find out, then he doesn't know all things. But the Bible is clear that he does know all things. So when it uses language like this about God searching out things, it doesn't mean that he doesn't know certain things until he searches them out. Rather, it's a way of speaking about the thoroughness of his knowledge, the exhaustiveness of his knowledge. His knowledge is searching. It's like a divine spotlight on us. He knows all things, visible and invisible, seen and unseen. Even though we may try to hide certain things from him at times, he searches them out, as it were. God knows all things instantaneously and unchangeably and eternally. He has always known all things. He has always known all there is to know. He doesn't need to do any research or investigation in order to find things out. He doesn't need to look anything up or even take a minute to recall something from his mind. He knows all things instantaneously and unchangeably and eternally. And he is worthy of our praise for such knowledge, isn't he? For his knowledge. And, end of verse 3, he is acquainted with all our ways. When it says he's acquainted with all our ways, that doesn't mean that he doesn't know them very well. He's just sort of acquainted with them. Like we might say, I don't know that person very well. They're just an acquaintance. No, the emphasis here is not on the word acquaintance, but on the word all. He's acquainted with all our ways. He's familiar with all our ways. He knows all our ways. None of our ways are unknown to him. He's acquainted with them all. He knows them all. We are known by God. This is true of us as God's people, but this is also true of all people, given God's omniscience, the fact that he's all-knowing. God is acquainted with all the ways of all people. And if you're here this morning or you're watching the live stream and you're not a Christian, first of all, I'm glad that you're here. I hope that you'll interact with people after the service and get to know some folks, ask them whatever questions you may have about what you're hearing. But I would challenge you to consider the truth of God's word, that God knows all your ways. He knows everything you've ever done. He knows everything you've ever left undone. He knows all the ways you have sinned against him and broken his law, as we all have done. Broken his commandments, like the Ten Commandments, which you may have heard of. He knows all those things you've done that you felt guilty about, that you've known are wrong. And as the judge of all the earth, the Bible says that you stand before him guilty as charged. All of us do. And as it says at the end of a different psalm, Psalm 1, the way of the wicked will perish. You will face the judgment of God for all eternity because of your sinful ways. But know this, God has made a way for sinners to be saved from their sins. He sent his Son into the world to live and to die and to rise again for sinners, to accomplish salvation for them. And he offers salvation to you this morning. If you repent of your sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ for your salvation, you will be saved. And God will know all your ways, no longer as your judge, but as your heavenly Father. So put your trust in Christ alone to be your Savior and your Lord. God is acquainted with all our ways. Then in verse 5, we read the following, including this under the Lord knowing our actions. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. You hem me in. In other words, you surround me. You are behind me and you are before me, or in front of me, David says. No matter where we go, God is there. God is behind us and in front of us at all times. No matter what else may be behind us or in front of us, God is there. And that's not a bad thing, of course. That's a very good thing, isn't it? Because of all who God is for us. Matthew Henry said, wherever we are under the eye and hand of God. God lays his hand on us at all times. Matthew Henry again said, perhaps it is an allusion to the physician's laying his hand upon his patient to feel how his pulse beats or what temper he is in. God knows us as we know not only what we see, but what we feel and have our hands upon. All his saints are in his hand. All his saints are in his hand. So the Lord knows all our actions, but he also knows all our words. Look at verse 4. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Researchers estimate that the average person speaks about 15,000 words every day. 15,000. Some speak more. And some less, no doubt. But God knows every one of those words spoken by every person every day in all the different languages of the world. And he knows them even before they speak them, even before those words are on those tongues. So that means he also knows our thoughts. Second half of verse 2 says, you discern my thoughts from afar. God can read your mind. He knows every thought you've ever thought. He knows everything that's ever passed through your mind. He knows everything you've ever imagined, everything you've ever daydreamed about. He knows what you're thinking right now, right this moment. He knows it all. Sometimes we say to people we know well, I know what you're thinking. And we may have a pretty good idea of what they're thinking based on our knowledge of them. But God actually knows what they're thinking. Every thought, every word, every idea. Sometimes we don't even know what we're thinking, do we? I'm sure someone's asked you before, what's on your mind? And you weren't quite sure how to respond. Maybe there wasn't anything on your mind. But God knows. He knows you better than you know yourself. Jeremiah 12, verse 3 says, but you, O Lord, know me. You see me and test my heart towards you. Psalm 44, 21. For he knows the secrets of the heart. The hearts of the children of man lie open before the Lord, Proverbs 15, 11 says. Matthew 9, 4. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? He knows all the evil we've ever thought in our hearts. Hebrews 4, 13. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Given this, given those truths, given those realities, what hope do we have of salvation and eternal life except for Jesus' blood and righteousness? Our only hope is in the blood of Christ, which atones for all of our sins, and the righteousness of Christ, which fits us for heaven. How many sins we've sinned in our lives. It's like Ezra said in Ezra 9, 6, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift my face to you, my God, for our iniquities have risen higher than our heads, and our guilt has mounted up to the heavens. Every sinful action, every sinful word, every sinful thought, God knows them all and sees them all, and he atoned for them all on the cross. Jesus paid it all for us, his people. Colossians 2, 13 and 14, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. It's like we sing, my sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. How amazing it is, how awesome it is that God knows all our actions, words, and thoughts. But how much more amazing and awesome it is that knowing all that, he still loves us. And he still loves us because he has cleansed us through the blood of Christ and clothed us in the righteousness of Christ. Well, let's consider thirdly and finally how the Lord's knowledge is too wonderful for us. It's too wonderful for us. That's what David says there in verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Such knowledge, meaning God's knowledge, God's omniscience, God's perfect and immutable knowledge of all our actions, words, and thoughts, is too wonderful for us. It is too high for us. We cannot attain it. We can't attain to that kind of knowledge. We are limited in our knowledge. We are finite in our knowledge. But God is infinite and unlimited in his knowledge. Romans 11, 33 and 34. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? God's knowledge is too deep for us. God's knowledge is too high for us. Charles Spurgeon said, I cannot grasp it. I can hardly endure to think of it. The theme overwhelms me. I am amazed and astounded at it. Such knowledge not only surpasses my comprehension, but even my imagination. Job said in Job 42, 3, therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. How should we respond to God's knowledge? That's what I want to consider for a few minutes as we draw to a close this morning. Four ways we should respond to all that we've heard about God's knowledge of us. First, we should stand in awe of God's knowledge. We should adore God and praise God and worship God for his perfect knowledge of us. David says later in the psalm, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, They are more than the sand, more than all the grains of sand on all the beaches in all the world. We should stand in awe of God because of his infinite knowledge. How vast is his knowledge? All the actions, all the words, all the thoughts of all the people who have ever lived on the face of the earth. And he knows us, his people, personally and individually and lovingly. We should praise him for his omniscience. Second, we should be freshly convicted of our sin. God knows all our actions, all our words, all our thoughts. And when we think about how many of our actions, words, and thoughts are sinful, that should convict us of our sin and convince us again of our need for God's grace. Psalm 130, verse 4. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. As we sing, when he shall come with trumpet sound, O may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. When we think about God's thorough and searching knowledge of us, it should lead us to a deeper conviction of our sin and to a deeper appreciation also for the blood and righteousness of Christ that is ours by faith. Third, this should keep us from sin. There are certain things we might be tempted to do if we knew that nobody was looking. But if they were looking, we wouldn't do them. The fact that they're watching is a deterrent to sin. It keeps us from sinning. Although, of course, we'd need to repent of our desire to sin in that case. But we can take that same dynamic and apply it to God's knowledge of us. If we know that God is watching, then that should keep us from sinning. What more powerful deterrent to sin could there be than the fact that God is right there watching us? And we don't want to sin against God, our God. When we sin in the presence of God. We sin in the face of God. And knowing that he knows us and sees us can keep us from sinning. Fourth and finally, we should take courage and be encouraged. We should take courage knowing that God knows us and sees us at all times. Waking or sleeping, thy presence, my light. We're never alone. He is always with us. God himself is with us. So we can take heart. We can take courage. No matter where we are, he is there. No matter what we're facing, he is with us. So we can take courage. And we can be encouraged. I wonder if you've ever been tempted to think that no one really knows you. No one understands you. No one gets you. Well, whether that's true or not when it comes to other people, it's not true when it comes to God. God knows you fully. God fully understands you better than you understand yourself. And he is mindful of you and he cares for you. So God knows us, his people. He knows our actions and our words and our thoughts. He knows everything there is to know about us. And because of Christ, he still loves us. We should stand in awe of his knowledge. His knowledge of us should convict us of our sin. His knowledge of us should keep us from sinning. And we should take courage and be encouraged. Because we know, based on Scripture, that we are known by God. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we praise you for your knowledge. It is too wonderful for us and too high for us. It is convicting to think of how searching your knowledge is of us and how exhaustively you know us, because we know our sins. But we thank you for Christ, our Savior. And we pray that by his strength, you would keep us from sin. Make us aware of your presence in those moments of temptation. And give us courage and encouragement, knowing that you are with us, knowing that we are known by you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.